Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by American Tourist Travel. For all your travel needs, contact American Tourist Travel at americantouristtravel.com. The show is also being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home in the Central Florida area, Elite Vacation Homes is the place to go. They have homes from 2 to 6 bedrooms, they have pools, they have game rooms, and they have outside barbecues. So contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. The show is also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for Disney World, Universal, SeaWorld, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. And our last sponsor is David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you need to rent a DVC hotel, if you want to stay at the Boardwalk, the Yacht and Beach Club, Animal Kingdom Lodge, Contemporary, contact David's at davidsvacationclubrentals.com. And now on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to podcast number 156. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy Dan. Hey, Dan, pull up a stool.
Hey, Doug, how you doing today?
I'm doing well. What can we have to drink that offers a nice spring day? Like, what do you want to have? Mimosa? Not mimosas. They're a little... No, they're not good for today. What do you think? What's a good drink for today?
How about a Bloody Mary?
Oh, okay. Well, you're going... I'm thinking winter with Bloody Mary. It's cold.
Yeah, we'll get one of those floral, flowery type Bloody Marys. How about one of, how about one of those specialty ones they have at the Animal Kingdom?
Okay, we'll go with that.
At the Daiwa Bar.
There you go.
Daiwa Bar, whatever it is.
Whatever, but we got to celebrate spring somehow now, Dan. You know what I'm saying? It finally has bloomed. We got flowers in the, it's coming out in the yard. It's good times now. We can get out of this. We don't have to be jealous of Florida anymore. We're actually going to hit 60 degrees here today.
I know. I keep thinking back just a few short weeks ago. I was in 90-degree weather down there at the Flower and Garden Festival. So I've seen my spring flowers and then had to come back to brown.
That's even worse, I think. But I've been watching all the videos online, and you know, I watch stuff on YouTube, and I've been checking out the Flower and Garden Festival, and yeah, it's been making me jealous too.
Yeah, I miss it. I miss it.
So you ready to get on with a little news, my good buddy?
Absolutely. Let's do it. Disney Springs news. There's going to be 3 more stores opening up down at the Landing. And every week it seems like they're announcing more and more stuff that's opening up, which is exciting. But Vivolo Gelateria, which is going to offer gelato, espresso, and paninis. A Joffrey's Tea Hut, which is going to offer hot and cold teas and packaged teas and accessories. And then Irwin Pearl, the latest fashion jewelry.
I'm looking forward to 2 out of 3.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah, great additions. I mean, I saw some of this stuff when I was down there. It obviously wasn't open yet, but down there near... the bakery and the chapel hats and all that stuff. There's a little alleyway, if you will, that leads up to the boathouse, and that's where all these stores and kiosks are. So that's going to be a nice little place when everything gets opened up.
I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait to go back, and I know Brenda will want to roam around the latest in fashion jewelry. The only thing is my wife's not a big pearl fan, so I hope they have other things besides just pearls in there.
Yeah, that's funny you say that. I remember, I think our first trip it was, we did one of those things, you know, the little kiosks where you actually open the oyster up and get the pearl out?
Yeah, over in Japan. We've done that too, but the actual, like, pearl necklaces and stuff like that, really not into that.
Yeah. No, I think it's a cool thing just to, you know, actually open the oyster up. We did it at the one at Downtown Disney. There's, I think it's still there, actually. Used to be over near the Rainforest Cafe there, right on the water.
And, okay.
Yeah, we did that years ago, and we've done it actually a couple of times over the years. It's kind of like a tradition type thing.
That's cool.
I always get a kick out of it. You know, the oyster or the pearl that's in the oyster is only $19.95. Then, of course, once you open it, then they break out the book with all the settings, whether you want it in a ring or you want to open a second one and make earrings. And
you want to take out a second mortgage and do it all.
That's when it runs into $200, $300. So the pretty much the pearl is they almost give it away. It's what you put it in that costs the money.
Oh, absolutely. They have the same thing over. Have you ever done it over to Japan Pavilion?
No, never did it there, but we've gone there and watched it. And actually, it's kind of I don't know, exciting. They have the bell and stuff. If you get a good crowd of people or a couple of people that are actually doing it, the cast members, it's kind of a fun thing. They make it exciting and make a big deal about what type of pearl you pull out and all that good stuff.
Well, it's kind of one of those. It's one of those things. It's one of those things that most people don't notice going on at Disney that you just stumble upon when you're down there. That's the fun part.
Exactly.
You know,
So it's
that's why
all.
roaming all those stores and all the kiosks, you never know what you're going to find. That's the great part. When we say slow down, look around, and enjoy the view, that's what I'm trying to say, and I know you are too. Don't walk by all these great things because, like you're talking about, one of your favorite memories now is something you stumbled upon.
Yeah, and like I said, even if you weren't purchasing a pearl, when we've done this many times, like I said, just standing there and people watching and seeing the whole process is pretty interesting too. So, something you can take in, even if you don't want to spend any money on a pearl.
I don't want to spend any money on a pearl, but I'll take it in.
There you go. Sticking with the Disney Springs area, reservations are now available for the Boathouse, which is the centerpiece restaurant down there. And actually, we're recording this on Sunday, but on Monday, April 13th, the Boathouse is going to open up.
That's a restaurant I've been looking for. That one and the Iron Chef Marimoto's restaurant are the two I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah, it's been a while, or we've been hearing about this for quite a while, and it's all starting to come to be. So it's pretty interesting. And we've covered, generally speaking, without going into the menu, but it's going to be opening up, like I said, on Monday, and it's going to be an upscale waterfront dining experience and floating artwork, dream boats from the 30s, 40s, and 50s. So this is it's been getting hit pretty hard on Twitter as far as some of the menu prices and stuff like that. But I actually did look at the menu in detail, and there is some high-end stuff on the menu, but there's some stuff that's I think pretty reasonably priced. I don't know if you looked at the menu at all, Doug, or what your thoughts are.
Yeah, I've seen the menu. I got, I don't have the menu sitting totally in front of me, but I've seen it. But I got some of the bullet points, like the 8 ounce fillet is $39, so it's in line with all the other steakhouses on property. And one of the things I think is pretty interesting, if you're there with your family, the Boathouse Surf and Turf table serving for four for $160, I something like that I think would be pretty cool to do with the family.
Yeah, again, when these prices were first released, for instance, the $115 steak. Well, if you look into it a little bit further, it's a tomahawk long bone rib chop for two, and it's a 32-ounce steak. So, divide that in half. Yeah, it's still pricey, but it's not really a $115 steak for a single person. So, I think in a way, this place is kind of getting a bad rap right out of the box as far as prices go.
Yeah, you got to see what comes like with that $115. I mean, you don't know what's being served with it, what kind of drinks. I mean, you don't know what the whole package is until you actually experience it yourself.
Right.
So, but it sounds good. I mean, it's one of those things. I don't think it's any more than California Grill from the prices I'm reading, or I mean, and then you got it ain't it isn't anything like over at the Grand Floridian at Victoria and Albert's, but it's somewhere in between the two, I think.
Yeah, I would think. And
And
I'm ex
Fulton's isn't cheap. I be you know Fulton's Crab House, those their prices are no more than Fulton's, and Fulton's has made it there for a long time.
Yeah, I haven't eaten there in years. We ate there our first or second trip, and I've never been back. But we had a great dinner there. I got lobster tail, as I recall. But I remember it being very pricey even back 15 years ago. And I don't know. That's just Fulton's isn't something that comes to mind when we think about, dining in Walt Disney World. But we definitely got to get back there.
I mean, it's a beautiful restaurant. I mean, it's a. I mean, coming down to Sascagoula, I mean, that's what you see the first. I mean, I'm sure you've seen it the first time from the boats, like I did. Am I right?
Yeah, I mean it's an icon, and it's been obviously down there at Downtown Disney since I've been going there, and a long time before then.
It used to be called the Empress Lily.
Exactly, exactly.
It was Walt named it after his wife. So I mean, it's been a long time that ship's been down there in Downtown Disney.
That's for sure. But anyways, yeah, the Boathouse, getting back to that, it's exciting to me to see some of these things we've been talking about for over a year now start to open up. And, you know, it's going to be a whole new experience when you get down there, and you're going to have different options. And
2016 is going to be awesome at downtown. Or Disney Springs. We got to start. I think we'll always call it downtown, just like we always call the studios MGM.
Right, right. Right, and then we're going to have to learn a new name soon, but that's a whole nother story.
Exactly. That's why we're doing this.
Exactly. Yeah, so we can keep current with all this stuff, right?
Yeah, everybody gets a laugh at us for calling things the wrong name.
Yeah, that's okay. Let's see here. Yeah, this past week, again, this was all over Twitter and stuff, but the new lava pool at Disney's Polynesian Village Resort opened up. And again, that's another construction project that, you know, it seems like it's been under construction forever, but things are starting to pop open. And, you know, I got to believe they're going to be wrapping up fairly soon. I mean, they probably still got a couple months of stuff to tidy up there. But with the bungalows opening and starting to take reservations and have guests use them, and now the lava pool and the grotto is open now, the new bar there. I mean, you know, things are really starting to come to be over there at the Poly.
Yeah, well, these are the things that I was saying to Ricky on Be Our Guest when I did their live show. And they have another one coming up soon, is when we were talking about the difference between Disney and Universal with the work being done. I mean, every week we're mentioning 50 things that are going on. I don't understand how you can even compare the two. Like, and I don't want to keep beating a dead horse, but the point is they don't have any resorts to take care of. I mean, just refurbishing all the pools and all the stuff. And not just that, you got 20-some resorts that things can arise that need to be taken care of at any given time, and the size of the four parks. Am I wrong?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the footprint and just the total square footage of buildings and stuff they got to maintain, it's like an apple and an orange. There's no comparison.
No, the maintenance alone, they probably have more work on maintenance than Universal has on new stuff. I bet you Disney has more employees doing maintenance than Universal has doing new projects.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt that. I wouldn't doubt that at all. It's
I mean, how many times at the resorts have we seen 20, 30 workers out just taking care of the grounds in the mornings?
Oh, yeah, it's amazing. I mean, I'm just thinking back to my trip now when I took the boat into Disney Springs the first time, and it was just about noontime. In fact, it was the day that we did the show, you know, when I was down there. But anyways, all the workers were taking lunch, and they were sitting on the dock that's going out into the water there, and they all had their igloo coolers and, you know, thermoses or whatever. And
I'd have been so jealous.
Oh, there must have been 100 of them out there, you know, and I was just thinking, wow, they must be saying, oh, look at these lucky guys. They're on vacation and we're working. But
we're envying them because they're working at our place of vacation where we want to be every day.
Exactly. But the point I was going to make to tie it into what you were saying is, you know, there's all those construction workers there. And then you think there's all the construction workers over building Avatar Land. There's all the construction workers over at the studios that are doing the stuff that's hot. I mean, and at the Poly. And if you just think about it, there's, you know, thousands of workers that are working on all these new construction projects. And like you said, that doesn't even account for the maintenance that's going on with the Disney staff.
I mean, yeah, it's crazy how much is going on there. I mean, everywhere you look, there's somebody cleaning or doing something, especially when you get up like we do, because we get up at the crack of dawn and start roaming around.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's when you see them up spraying for mosquitoes and all that good stuff that they really don't want the guests to see. Or you might see the guys that get the duck eggs out of the you know, around the resort and stuff, and move them out, you know, all that stuff that goes on kind of behind the scenes, if you will.
Oh, it's awesome. I love it when too we drive over to the boardwalk area. I'll even see a truck driver taking loads in. You know how you go that back way where you can— not many people go the opposite way to come into the boardwalk or the Yacht and Beach Club. I go under that little underpass there. You know what I'm talking about, by the Yacht and Beach Club?
Yeah.
And when I see the truck, because a lot of deliveries come in that way for Epcot, when I see them trucks, I'm like even dreaming. I'm on vacation saying, man, I would love to be the one delivering that stuff. Just to get into a place where nobody else gets into.
Right.
It's so sad. It really is. It's sad.
Yeah, and a lot of times at that time in the morning, you'll see the the laundry staff, if you will, the trucks and the little carts they have to pull all the towels and linens and all that stuff. I mean, that's a whole thing in itself, too.
Absolutely. I mean, that's my point. There's so much going on there. I can't wait to see the Polynesian. Me and you are going to have to be out of work there because we'll never be able to afford to stay there.
Yeah, that's on my bucket list. We've been wanting to stay at the Poly, and we had thought we might purchase DVC, a few years ago, like a lot of people were. They said, oh, when the Poly comes on board, we're going to, either purchase or add to our membership. But with the prices of the bungalows and everything we got going on right now, it's just not in the cards. But we're definitely going to book a week there at some point in the near future and just stay as, regular guests, not DVC. But I love that resort, and I definitely want to do that at some point.
Yeah, well, if you did it DVC, you'd have to borrow from like 10 years from now.
Yeah, right. And yeah, no, bungalows out of the question. But, they do have studios and one bedrooms, I think, in some of the longhouses. So it might be possible DVC, just not in the bungalow.
Yeah, with the prices where they are, me and Brendan's might have to see if they rent out the maintenance shed.
Yeah, there you go.
Those bungalow prices are insane, man.
Yeah, I don't get it. It's sick money, but
I mean, it's even beyond that. It's like, it's like more than a penthouse is in Manhattan.
Yeah.
To rent for a day, it's in that kind of pricing, from what I can see.
Yeah, I was listening to a show. I forget where I heard it, but and again, I've never stayed at any of these, but they made the point. It made some sense to me. They said, even before the bungalows were there, they have concierge, rooms or president's rooms. I forget what they call them.
Yeah, the presidential suite over at the Animal Kingdom Lodge. I've seen that. It's amazing. It's like three bedroom. It's huge though. Dining area. Bathroom. It's huge.
Right. But even at the Poly, they have some of these select rooms or whatever. And they said the prices of the bungalows are pretty much in line with what those are. And they've been selling those for years. So, it really isn't that outrageous that the bungalows are so much per night. That's been going on. It's just that nobody really paid any attention because for most of us, or 99.9% of us, it's not something we would even consider or be able to afford, so we never talk about it.
Yeah, if I hit the Mega Million Tuesday, I would still have to think about it. It's just one of those things where how much it is a slap in the face. But I would love to do it.
Yeah.
No, I like how Len Testa, he's trying to barter with people to rent one room off him in there. I thought that was pretty funny.
Right. No, it's one of those things. If you have to think about how much it costs, you can't afford it. It's just like when you if you got to ask how much something is an option on a sports car or something, you can't afford it. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
When you're spending that kind of money, you just either have it or you don't. And if you got a hem and haw over an option package or something like that, then you probably can't afford it.
No, but it's one of those things. It's a dream.
Yeah, that's hey.
I think I like the myself. I would rather stay in the tree houses first myself. And they're not as bad now. They seem like a bargain.
Yeah. Well, and there's a thing that's attainable. I mean, that's a realistic goal and something you could probably do if you really wanted to. So I think that's why it's more appealing.
Yeah, well, they're like a dream of mine because, Dan, I've seen them our very first trip when the college students were actually staying in them.
I
thought they were awesome. And then reading about them. And then they were closed down for a few years. Like, they were all weren't being used there for a while. And then when they started to redo them, and we'd ride by as they were being under construction, it was kind of like it built for us. Every year we got to see a little more, and that's what made it so appealing because it's over in our neck of the woods.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I remember one trip I was down there when they were putting them in, and you'll remember this, Doug, where they didn't want to disturb any of the woods or the trees around there, so they actually brought in those huge cranes. Like the ones that are at downtown now or over at Avatar Land, and they actually, they were all prefabbed, and they poured the concrete pillars, if you will, or footings, and then they popped them right in over the tree line and just kind of set them into place. And like I said, the one week we happened to be there, I got to see one. I actually saw the crane pop one of those in across the golf course, so it was pretty interesting.
Yeah, and plus you're a member there at Saratoga, so it's obtainable for you, too.
Yeah, at some point we'd probably stay there. I mean, we'd have to do a big family trip or something like that to make it worthwhile. But
Take a
yeah.
podcast partner and his family with
Yeah.
you.
Yeah, there you go.
Not saying any, not giving any clues or hints out, but if you wanted to
Right.
do something like that, it wouldn't be a bad idea, I don't think.
Right. Nah, you never know. You never know.
Next piece, buddy.
Yeah, just again, we might have mentioned this last week, but I'll mention it again for those that are planning fall slash winter trips. That
Oh my goodness, the flowers, we just talked about it.
I
Now you're
know.
going to tell me about Christmas and Halloween parties.
I am because, as we say, that Disney is just like retail. They're always 6 months ahead of whatever season you're in. So we're just getting into spring, and they're already planning for Halloween and Christmas. And you can now purchase your tickets for the 2015 Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party and the Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party also is on sale. In addition to that, what did I see? The what is that Christian music thing?
The festival,
Yeah, but what do they call that?
the
The
Night of Joy.
Night of Joy. Yeah, those tickets are on sale as well if that's something you enjoy. So all your holiday offerings are now available for purchase. And you know, I know for the Halloween party, I usually do that once a year. Those dates in and around the 31st of October do tend to sell out quickly. So if you do have a trip planned or you think you might be going down there at that time, although it sounds crazy, it might make sense to purchase those tickets now.
Absolutely, it is. It makes perfect sense. But after the winter we had, it's like, can't I just enjoy summer a little bit before this comes out?
Right.
I mean, the crazy part is they got all this stuff released, but they don't even have the pricing ready for you to book. I have a customer that wants prices for January,
Right.
and they're not even in the search engine yet.
Yeah. They tend to lag behind, but it can't. You can book a room, right? You
Oh,
just
absolutely. You could set the whole trip up, but the
right.
price, I can't get, I have to call down and reserve it. I can't do it on the computer yet.
Right.
The prices are not, they're not available right now. I mean, unless something changed since the other day, but it's locked out for January.
Oh boy. Yeah, that makes it difficult. You've probably got to figure it'll be 3 or 4% more than whatever this year's prices are in all likelihood, right?
Yeah, plus they're still blocking you out. Ticket prices we know will go up again in July.
Yep. July or August, absolutely.
I mean, they're like April 15th for taxes. Disney's like July what? We'll just put a number out there, July 15th for ticket
Right.
price raises.
Right.
I
Well,
mean,
they got to get any disposable income you have, right?
yeah, I'm like I said, they should set up a trust fund that we could just PayPal account where we can all just donate.
Yeah, make it easy on everybody. Moving right along here. Yeah, the kind of a clarification to the I'm sure you were following this drama on Twitter, Facebook, whatever. The selfie sticks were banned, or at least that's what was said. That no more selfie sticks at Walt Disney World. And those of you that don't know what they are, these retractable poles, I guess you'd call them, that you can put your cell phone on the end of it and take a picture of yourself or whatever.
It lets you get in better focus. You can
Yeah.
take a group picture a little better held by hand.
Yeah, it actually works pretty good. Not that I've had one, but I've seen several people that have used them, and they actually do work pretty good. But anyways, as
I
the
made myself a hillbilly one. And what it is it's my old, you ever see them old rulers that unfold?
Yeah, the wooden rule.
Yeah, the old rulers are from like the 50s, and you unclip it. I put my phone on that. That's how I did my selfie stick.
There you go. Yeah, but
Old
anyway,
school, baby.
yeah. Anyways, but as the Disney community is apt to do, you know, they weren't quite correct in what they said. They have not been banned from Disney theme parks. A lot of the, you know, the major Disney sites and stuff that are down there reported that, quote unquote, they were banned from Disney parks. And anyways, Disney came out at some point, I think it was about a week later or whatever, and clarified that they are not banned from their parks. They are only banned from attractions. You can't use them on a ride or an attraction within the park, but you know, you can certainly use it within the park to take pictures, you know, anywhere else.
Well,
So
I'm sure somebody was on Space Mountain trying to do a selfie, and it probably got broke. The camera or phone probably got snatched from the roof.
yeah, I mean, but It kind of, they even said, or Disney said, that it wasn't even, they didn't make a new rule, if you will, just for selfie sticks. It goes for anything. You're not supposed to use cameras or a tripod or any other type thing on any of the attractions.
They tell you to keep the flash off, and there's a bunch of rules that's been there, but it's just like anything else. There's rules there, and you know, there's common sense. You know, don't use the selfie stick outside the Jeep at Kilimanjaro Safari, because if you're going to lose your camera, they don't want to hear you crying, is what the problem is. Most of the time, they're just protecting you against yourself.
Right.
You know, because they probably have already found a bunch of cameras out in the safari. Now the animals eat it.
Right.
I mean, they're not going to stop the Jeep for you.
Right.
You know, and stuff like that. Like I said, over at Space Mountain, you're going to get your camera ripped off. I bet you that's happened already. A Rock and Roller Coaster, somebody trying to do it upside. Hey, look at me upside down.
Right.
You know, and there's probably been a big upload of cameras and phones everywhere on rides now.
Right.
So.
I'm sure.
They're just protecting you.
Exactly. Protecting you from yourself.
Exactly. We all need that.
That's pretty much all I have for news, Doug. Did you have anything you wanted to cover?
Yeah, just I can't wait to go to Taste Track.
Ooh, grilled cheese.
Yeah, aren't you looking forward to that?
Yeah, that looks awesome.
So sad. I was at the agency last week, and because of reading all this and going over the menu, I had my wife make me a grilled cheese before I got home.
Yeah, you got it set in your mind that, you know, once that happens, it's you can't get it out of your mind.
I was like craving a grilled cheese, and if you know my wife, I'm not allowed to have stuff like that very often. It's like a treat. You know, it's like, you know, I can have a candy bar like a kid once a week or something like that. Something like cheese like that is once a week for her.
Right.
Doesn't it sound really good to get a grilled cheese down there?
Yeah, it does. I mean, I missed it by a couple of weeks. I wish it was open when I was there, because reading through the menu, you know, it's not your typical grilled cheese. It's kind of like high-end grilled cheese or adult grilled cheese, I guess I'd call it.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it. I mean, like I said, they have the Greer Applewood smoked bacon with caramelized onions on a sourdough bread. Don't that sound good? $8.99. I know it's a lot for a grilled cheese, but it's going to be gourmet grilled cheese.
Right.
Then a fontina and tomato basil with balsamic glaze and sourdough bread. And then this sounds really good too, Dennis. Canadian cheddar and apples with apple butter on cinnamon raisin bread. That sounds like a dessert, don't it?
Oh, it certainly does.
It sounds really good. Then you got kids' grilled cheese, and then they sell soft drinks and lemonade. But what my wife will probably make me get is the roasted chicken salad.
Right.
Which sounds really – it'll be nice to just grab and go on something like that up in Future World. It gives you another option. I like the idea of – I wonder if this is an idea of starting to bring – with all the success of the kiosks around World Showcase, I wonder if they're thinking about bringing – a couple more kiosks up to Future World.
Yeah, maybe. And you know, like we said, really the only thing you got over that side is the electric umbrella, which is just burgers. So anything that's a little more diverse than, you know, just burgers is a good thing. And, you know, Sunshine Seasons, you know, you got to go all the way over into the Land Pavilion. So this is kind of gives you an option over that side of the park in Future World.
Any extra kiosks frees up crowds. I mean, how cool would it be? Because me and Brenda go down. We've been down quite a bit, January, February, March, and it does get chilly. It'd be really cool to go get a Greer, an Applewood smoked bacon, and a tomato bisque soup.
Yeah.
A full day sitting Absolutely. Down. I think that would be nice on like a 60-degree today, 55, 60-degree day to grab that.
Right.
Go grab a nice spot, cop a squat somewhere. I think it would be it's an awesome alternative to, you know, it just gives you something else to look into or look forward to while you're down there.
Yep, absolutely. I'm definitely going to check this place out. And they actually added some little tables, and they have some, I don't know, they look like little stands that have tables, but they also have a little awning over them so you can get out of the sun too. So it's all good.
Yeah, I'm happy. I like when they add stuff like that. It's the little things I enjoy. You know
yeah.
I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing I wanted to ask you about is they announced that the Be Our Guest, the pre-ordering of the breakfast menu.
Right.
I mean, we've talked about this, but it still gets me. The idea of a lot of times is sitting down looking at the menu and picking out what you're going to pick. Do you want to pick what you want to eat a month ahead of time?
Yeah, I mean, I see your point, but I'm kind of over that. I mean, for instance, I'll give you a real life example. I mean, I'm 191 days out from our next trip, and in 11 days, I'm going to have to decide where I'm going to eat on what day. I mean, do I really know where I want to eat on what day,
Yeah, you kind of
180
do
days?
though, like me. I mean, the only place I could definitely order, and I know people are tired of hearing me say this, is I know I could place my order for Bang Smash at Rose and Crown, but that's about it.
Right.
I mean, I understand what you're saying, but pretty much we know what restaurants we're looking forward to, and we've been there, me and you, long enough where we can plan our days. Because it don't matter which park we're at. You know, we could just lay it out, okay, if they have a reservation, say you guys want to eat at the California Grill on Monday and they don't have nothing on Thursday, it's really not going to break your heart.
No doubt about it. But I, you know,
But when
we're the exception to the rule. I mean, most people, I mean, people I talk to in real life, if you will, that happen to go to Disney World maybe once, you know, now and again, they have a tough time with that. You know, they're like, oh, no, we don't make ADRs or reservations. We, how do I know where I'm going to be or what I want to eat? And, you know, it's just hard to convince them that you really should, because you're not going to be able to, in all likelihood, get into some place that you might want to eat if you wait till you get there, like the old days.
Yeah, there's like 10 restaurants. If you don't do 60 days out, you're not getting in for sure. But the point is I don't mind picking the restaurant. I just don't know exactly what I'm going to want on that day. That's my thing. The fun of it is going, most of the restaurants I pick, there's usually three or four different things on the menu that I like. I don't know. Maybe I want pork roll instead of bacon by the time I get there, or sausage. I don't know. I mean, I know you can change it, and a lot. I bet you, because they said you can change the day off. I bet you 50% of the people change their mind, if not more.
Yeah, I have no idea, but I mean, I suppose you could do a buffet or something. That way you can get whatever you want, right?
Yeah, I'm just saying that the pre-ordering, they're trying to make this. They act like this restaurant is the only place in the world to eat, and you got to tell them everything. How many? I want 2 scoops of sugar in my coffee and a tenth of a teaspoon of milk, please.
Well,
And 2 shakes of salt on my bacon, I mean on my eggs, and 1 shake of pepper, please. I mean, come on.
Well, Be Our Guest restaurant, you know, in itself has had all these weird, I mean, they've kind of made it like the trial restaurant, if you will.
It's
You know,
getting on my nerves restaurant at this point.
I mean, you know, they had that weird thing where you couldn't wait outside. You had to have like a fast pass or some such thing. And then they won't let you in the door. And now this prefix dinner, you know, reservation or whatever it is. I don't know. They just seem to be making it difficult and kind of unpleasant to eat there or make a reservation there.
I
I
mean,
don't know.
you're right. It's a beautiful restaurant, but you know what? I'm going to go over to the old mill and get my eggs and potatoes and be done with you. I don't need the aggravation of it. It's like everything. I mean, the food is good. I mean, it's a beautiful place, but it's like, stop it already. It's like they act like it's the most sought after, like Club 33 they're trying to make it.
Yeah, I mean, I said this on a previous show. I mean, you're right, Doug. The food is good, and we talked to Barry on our last show, and he and his family enjoyed it. But it's just all right food. I mean, if I never ate there again, it wouldn't bother me a bit. I mean,
If that restaurant was in a square build, a regular building down the street from you, it would be okay. But because of the whole atmosphere, the design of it, the animation of it, the whole package is what makes it incredible. It isn't just the food.
Oh, absolutely. And as we know, the Magic Kingdom in general is lacking for, you know, sit down restaurants anyway. So, I mean, it is popular and for all the reasons you said, but I mean, you know, the food isn't, you know, oh, I got to go there, I got to try this, or they have some special signature dish that you can't get anywhere else. I mean, it's all right food, but like I said, too many changes, too many tweaks, too many of these quirky, you know, rules, if you will, to eat there. I don't know. It's just turning me off to the whole place.
Yeah, it's just getting a little annoying. I mean, like I said, it's not like the worst thing in the world, but it's like stop already with yourself. Get over yourself. It's like it's a conceited restaurant.
Yeah, what do they think? They're Le Cellier or
Yeah,
something?
exactly. Even there, you can get into easier than this place. They're making Le Cellier seem easy now.
Right. I mean, it's a restaurant. You should be able to just book an ADR and be done with it. I mean, all these, you know, stand on your head and rub your stomach at the same time. It's just crazy.
Yeah, you can. You're gonna have to give it DNA sample to eat there soon to prove it's you.
Yeah, really.
So, you want to cover the end of your trip, the restaurants you eaten at while you were down there, and all that good
sure.
stuff, buddy?
Yeah,
so we can
yeah.
move on with this. Everybody wants to hear the rest of your vacation, and we've had so many different interviews and stuff like that. We haven't had a chance to talk about it.
Yeah, it's been a while. Do you remember where we left off?
Well, I know we were at we did Epcot and all with you. We did that with Bob and everything, and then we covered downtown and Riverside. Remember the last podcast? Remember
right.
we talked about you and eating at the Bee and all that good stuff.
Right.
So
right.
you want to cover what some of the focal points that you did at the other parks? Some of the high points.
Yeah, I mean, let's see here. The studios, did we cover the studios?
No, we didn't cover any of the other parks. We
okay.
basically did you at Epcot. We did you at Riverside and Downtown Disney.
Okay, so over at the studios, we checked out the Trolley Car Cafe, which is the Starbucks. So we got there and, you know, checked that place out, which is awesome. I mean, it's...
Did it make you miss the old store? Or did
no.
From what I could see, the way the rafters all and some of the design, did they keep some of the architecture the same in there?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, it kind of looks like an old, you know, like a barn. I mean, you know,
yeah.
a lot of woodwork, a lot of metal ties and stuff like that. And
yeah, because if you remember the old gift shop there, you could see all the old suitcases. They'd have characters up there. They had things in the rafters in there. So they
yeah.
kind of kept the old rafters, because that's what I love, the whole open feeling of that place.
Right.
So
right.
it's cool they kept it that way.
Yeah, they did, and it's a pretty wide open space. And it's probably one of the better ones of the Starbucks that have, you know, taken over down there at Disney World. I mean, Main Street Bakery is it's pretty good, and the costumes that the cast members wear are, you know, appropriate for Main Street. But they do a good job at this one and putting the cast members in period costumes, if you will, of how they might have looked, you know, back in the, I don't know, 40s or 50s or something like that. So it's a nice atmosphere, and whether you like Starbucks or not, it's definitely, in my view, a good addition to the, you know, the main drag there at the studios.
I think Starbucks is awesome for the parks. I know it makes my wife happy, so I think it's awesome.
Right. Hey.
Yeah. You know what I mean? She just loves the whole... She loves the whole idea of getting up, headed over to parks, and getting her iced coffee about 10 o'clock.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, you'd think they were giving the stuff away the way the lines are in there, but they're pretty good at, you know, moving people through there. Even as long as the lines are, you might think, oh, boy, this is going to be a half-hour deal, but they crank them through there pretty good, and they have plenty of cast members, and I know that in order to work at any of these theme park locations, the cast members do go through extensive training, so they're not only, you know, up to speed with all the Starbucks stuff, but they're, you know, good at what they do as far as taking multiple orders, remembering multiple orders, and, you know, cranking out the different drinks and food offerings that they have. So they do a good job.
Oh, over at the Fountain View, me and Brenda, I loved what they did with that. I think it looks really nice in there, and the service is great. And it I like it because it's big, the Fountain View one. Have you been in there?
Oh, I've been in there probably a half a dozen times now since it's been opened. And, yeah, you're right, same thing. And, again, that one where it's in Future World I think is the least themed Starbucks that they have on property. But it makes sense because of where it is.
But the food in there, and they have so many options of for lunch and breakfast. They have a lot to eat in there. Like, I think a lot of people walk by it thinking it's just Starbucks now.
Yeah, I mean, Starbucks in general, they have, you know, great breakfast sandwiches and bacon, egg, and cheese and ham, egg, and cheese and, you know, Danish. They got pastries. They got sandwiches. You get soup there now. So you're right, Doug. The menu is a little bit more expansive than one might think. But they don't have, at least from what I saw, they don't have anything that you can't get at any Starbucks, in, you know, anywhere in the world for that matter.
No, and over there at the Fountain View, I mean, they got 10. They probably got 50 things on the list to eat. Between the classic coffee cakes, the double chocolate chunk, the petite vanilla scones. They got scones. They got cake pops. They got breakfast sandwiches, lunch sandwiches. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in there that I don't think people know that they just see Starbucks and keep walking. They don't know it serves other things, I don't think, anymore.
Right. Well, some of it gets down to the, you know, the nitty gritty, if you will. People either love Starbucks or they hate Starbucks. And somebody that hates Starbucks, whether they just don't like the company or don't care for their coffee, chances are they're not going to go in there to buy something to eat anyway. So it's one of those love-hate things, you know. People either go gaga over it or they can't be bothered.
Well, I'm glad you liked it. I'm glad. I'm happy it's there because it's another place to make my wife happy.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoy it. I enjoy it only because now you can get a decent cup of coffee at Disney World, and it's kind of awesome that, you know, Joffrey's has got an expanded presence there, and now Starbucks. So you got, you know, multiple options now. And as we know, for years, that was a big, big thing for a lot of people that traveled to Disney World, that the coffee was lousy. And you know, a lot of people love their cup of coffee in the morning. So now that you can get that, it just makes those that drink coffee much happier.
Now, the big question is, did you get to go over into the Tower of Terror and walk through the back way?
I did not. I did not.
Come on, man. Everything I asked you, you don't do.
To be honest, the farthest we got down Sunset Boulevard was the villain's that candy cauldron, I think it's called, or whatever it is.
Oh, on the left-hand side?
Yeah, we got some chocolate-covered strawberries, and that's as far as we went that day. I forget what we had dinner that night, and we got a late start, so we mostly stayed. Well, I'll just go through. I mean, obviously, we did the great movie ride.
I was going to say, there's no way you miss that.
Right, right. we did, your favorite there. God.
Mom is my favorite. I've never done that ride on Mom.
Toy Story Mania.
Midway Mania. It's
Midway Mania.
Toy Story Midway Mania. Get it right. Did you play with the Lincoln Logs?
No, I did not.
Come on,
I looked
man.
At
you got to build a. I build a cabin every time I'm in there.
Nah, luckily we had, well, not luckily, but we did have Fast Pass for that, and I believe it was our first Fast Pass, so we hopped right in there and pretty much got right on, and we were out of there, so we didn't spend a whole lot of time.
You probably don't win, and that's why you're upset.
I actually did win this time. I usually don't, but
you got them little fingers going, huh?
Yeah, get the blood. Well, that's because I just had a large iced coffee, so I was...
Iced coffee and strawberries or whatever you had, the candy.
No, that was later in the day.
Oh, okay, so you made it back over for the candy. The last time I was in there, dude, I built a replica of the Wilderness Lodge out of the Lincoln Logs, and I used the Legos and made a sign. They love me, man. I was there all day, it took me, but... Yeah. My wife and my mother-in-law and them had to come back and get me out of there. they caught me with mousetrap, and that's how they arrested me.
Yeah.
So where else did you go, buddy? So what else did you do at the studios, Dan?
We did Star Tours. We did Muppets. We did we didn't do Indiana Jones this time. On this day, we had my daughter's boyfriend's family with us. So they wanted to, their fast passes weren't aligned with ours because they booked late, long story. But
you were all happy about that, I bet.
Yeah. It just made for we did a lot of waiting around and different things. So they had never been there. So they did like Little Mermaid and stuff like that, which we didn't do. But, you know, a typical studios day. We didn't stay there very long, and we didn't have fast passes for Rock and Roller Coaster or anything like that. So that's why we just never went down that end of Sunset Boulevard. We did the checked out all the gift shops and stuff like that. We liked doing that on the main drag there, and spent most of our time over in the the left hand side of the park, if you will.
Anything going over near American Idol that you could see going on?
No, just looked dead as a doornail. Nothing happening that I could see. The good thing is at the studios, it's a good place to get pictures with characters and stuff. And we did have the memory maker this time, so we got pictures with Goofy and Pluto and different characters and stuff. So I mean, that ate up some time, as you know. Even if it's a short line, you end up burning 20 minutes or so. But we had the package, and we wanted to take advantage of it and get as many pictures as we can. So that was a common theme throughout this trip, that we spent more time doing stuff like that than we normally do. I mean, when we have our own camera or, you know, we don't have a package like that, we don't really bother with the characters or take pictures for the most part. But
so how did you like that? The memory maker.
Yeah, we'd
like
to
do it again.
Yeah, we would. You know, it was good that we bought the package and we were able to link everybody's magic band up. So, like, if my daughter went off by herself or with her boyfriend or whatever, they could go up to any photo pass photographer and take pictures by themselves, and they would still all link up to my account, just like if we were off by ourselves. So we had four people that actually were part of the package, and you know, it's pretty cool because you can go right on the site literally minutes after you take pictures, and you can actually see them as you go, and they get sorted by day and by park, so you can see, you know, MGM's Disney Hollywood Studios.
I told you we still call it MGM.
Yeah. You know, and you can see all the pictures you took at the studios, and then Animal Kingdom, and so forth and so on. So yeah, I mean, it's pricey, but you know, I'm sure we've all done this and you have issues. I mean, if you have your own camera, you got to keep asking the photo pass.
There's always one person that don't have a picture. They're always out of it.
Right.
That's what it ends up being.
And people are nice. I mean, I do this all the time for people. If you ask somebody, another guest or whatever, they'll always, you know, take your iPhone and snap a picture, or if you have your 35 millimeter. But I don't know. That just gets old to keep asking, I think. With the memory maker, it's great because everybody can jump in the picture and you get, you know, decent pictures. I mean, some of them come out real, real nice. Some of them not so much, but,
you know. It's probably cool to see pictures of your daughter and stuff when they weren't even with you.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And it's unlimited. I mean, you know, I kind of feel that we underutilized it, and that, you know, even as many as we took when we got back, we were like, ah, man, we should have taken more. But, you know, like I said, it always gets back to this. It's a time thing. I mean, mm-hmm. You know, you want to document your trip. You want to have pictures that you can enjoy and look back on when you get back home. But on the other hand, you know, you're there, you're on vacation, you don't want to spend all your time waiting in line to take pictures. So, you know, it's a double-edged sword there.
No, but it's a good option. It's one of those things as an agent that I let everybody book their trip, get everything done, and then about a month after, if you have 6 or 7 months to book it, like, you know, because I just had a couple that wanted to go in a week. So, and that was crazy. But
wow.
I usually let you remember that. I told you they came in on Wednesday and wanted to go to next Wednesday. I was like, really? Airfare was more than the trip was.
Right, right.
But the point is, if I have a few months, I'll let the people book the trip, and then I talk to them about it, because we really don't make anything hardly off the memory maker, but I think it's a good option, especially for the father that's usually stuck out of every single picture.
Yeah, and, you know, I would say, you know, for somebody like myself or my family, where we generally go twice a year, I don't think I would get it every trip.
No.
But for somebody that's going, you know, once in a lifetime, or maybe goes once every 5 years, I would highly recommend it, because, you know, when you get back, then you can, you know, put it in all in a photo album, or like my daughter did, she bought one of those, what do you call them? It's not a photo album, but you kind of,
scrapbook.
Yes, exactly. They bought a bunch of the, you know, you can get the stickers and the different things, and they're still working on it. I mean, they're putting a lot of work into it. They got hours into it, but they're taking the pictures and cutting them out and making a Magic Kingdom couple of pages, you know, each of the four parks, the resorts. So they're going to have a nice keepsake of that trip that we had a few weeks ago.
Well, yeah, like you guys, you went down with a big group this time. It was like a special occasion. So
right.
Whenever you do something like that, you would do it again.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, maybe the next time when you're blessed with some grandkids, you'll do something like that, so Grandpa can have the picture on the rides and stuff like
yes.
that. But with your normal trip with just you and your wife and stuff like that, you don't feel the need for it. But when it's a big special trip, it's nice to be capturing memories when you're not there.
Oh, absolutely. And that's the beauty of something like that, that, you know, you can you know, document your whole trip, and you have it for a lifetime. You can pull it down once in a while and look at all the photos. And for instance, and you're absolutely right, Doug. I mean, we're going down for Food and Wine this fall, just my wife and I. And, you know, we wouldn't get it for that trip. I mean, we've been to Food and Wine, you know, numerous times. And, you know, like you and I always joke, I got 100 pictures of Spaceship Earth. I got 100, you know, all the
I'll
icons.
I'll take another one, but I don't need them taking it for me.
Exactly, exactly. I'll still snap a few with my iPhone. I can't help myself. But, you know, I don't need Memory Maker. But like you said, if, you know, when we have grandchildren or whatever and we take them down for the first time, absolutely, we'd get Memory Maker. It's well worth it, and it's less stress. You don't have to worry about lugging around a camera and, you know, worrying about, like I said, asking a fellow guest to take a picture with you in it, or handing it off to the FastPass Plus, not the FastPass Plus, the PhotoPass photographer. You know, again, they will do it, and they do it, and they're great about it. But, you know, to me, it's a pain.
One of the other things that would be a positive thing to do, too, if you're going down with two or three couples and you're all linked together on the same reservation, you just all split it. So then it's only like 60, 70. It ain't that expensive. And you all have it, and then you can all use it and then share the pictures when you get home.
Yeah, I mean, and that's another great point. And that's what you can do. I mean, you have 30 days, I think, from the day of snapping the first picture to you can download as many times as you want. I mean, we downloaded it to a memory stick. You can download it to your local pharmacy or wherever you might develop your pictures or whatever. So we got multiple copies of the whole file, you know, both hard pictures and, you know, on computer or whatever. So, you know, it's unlimited as to the amount of pictures. And obviously it's great that you can put the borders, like they had a special border for Flower and Garden. And so when we were at Epcot, a lot of our pictures, we put that border on and it says, you know, Flower and Garden. It's got the logo of the festival this year. And, you know, each theme park has its own border, and, you know, it's just unlimited the amount of stuff you can put on. And of course they add the characters in. We get a couple of pictures with, you know, Tinkerbell and Stitch coming out of the ground and different things that you can add. And, you know, it's pretty cool. You know, to spice up the pictures, if you will.
Oh, it's a nice option. I think it's a good value for what you get out of it, like you said, if you use it to its full capability.
Absolutely. Like I said, I'd recommend it, you know, if you're going on that once-in-a-lifetime trip, or, you know, you haven't been there in 5 years, it's I think it's a good investment, because, like I said, it'll slow you down a little bit at the busy times. But, you know, even if you think about it in World Showcase, you know, in France, they always have the PhotoPass person right in front there where you can take a picture with the Eiffel Tower in the background. You know, there's key spots all over the parks where, you know, the photographers have been there for years. But there's also spontaneous places where you may not, you know, think you'd find them or whatever, like, you know, in front of Spaceship Earth or where some of the topiaries are.
They have them in front of the fountains too.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
As you're coming back from World World Showcase to Future World, they have them there too a lot of the times on that walkway.
Yeah, they actually had like three or four layers of them because, you know, you can get different, you know, with the Spaceship Earth in the background, or like you said, Doug, with the fountains. And then they have the iconic whatever toparies being featured there.
Yeah, because what they have is, what's cool is when you're leaving from World Showcase going back, it's usually at night when people are exiting, and they'll get you to where the ball's in the background with the illuminating colors on the ball.
Oh, yeah, that's a classic shot, if you will, at night. And, highly recommended. Like I said, to answer your question directly, yeah, I'd do it again.
Yeah, it's worth it. Like we said, with a group of people, it's awesome. So did you head over to the Animal Kingdom this trip?
Did we go to the Animal Kingdom? Yes, we went to the Animal Kingdom.
Well, I'm just making sure with you guys. You had a messed up trip this time. It was a little bit not all your design. Not messed up, but it wasn't all your doing.
Right, right.
And, so it was out of your hands a little bit, which you're a control freak with this Disney stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not, but you are.
Yeah. Yeah, we didn't spend a whole lot of time at the Animal Kingdom, not as much as I would have liked. Yeah, I know. What did we do at the Animal Kingdom? We did
I know you didn't
Dinosaur.
see Flights of Wonder this time, and I was mad at you for it.
Well, I did not, but I'll tell a nice story because we've heard about this, and until you actually see it, it's pretty amazing. But when we went into the Animal Kingdom, I don't know, my wife took off shopping. She went in a couple of stores, and anyways, I was in front of the Tree of Life. If you go over the, you know, the main bridge and you go as far forward as you can in front of the Tree of Life, they have a new, they opened up like a photo area there or whatever.
I know,
but anyways,
exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's pretty cool because you know, obviously there was a photo pass photographer there, but you know, there was a bunch of people taking pictures with their own camera and iPhones and stuff. But all of a sudden, I hear this screeching and, you know, and I'm, what the heck? It almost sounded like if you were at the beach and you heard a bunch of seagulls going at it.
Coming
whatever.
After my,
yeah,
whatchamacallit, my bread.
Yeah.
My funnel cake.
Yeah, there you go. But anyways, what it was actually the, I was just going to say parakeets, the parrots. Yeah, they were a little bigger
attacking
than parakeets.
Attacking the parakeets at the Animal Kingdom.
But yeah, what it actually was, though, is, and we heard about this, you know, several months ago, but I got to at least experience this part of it, is they have a, I guess you call it a flock, if a flock of parrots, if that's the right term, you know, flying all in.
I'll tell you if it's wrong.
Yeah, exactly. They were flying all around there, and what, you know, I guess what they're designed to do, I guess they train them to be loud like that because you can't help but to look up, and they have perches like all over in front of that area where I was just describing in front of the Tree of Life, and all the parrots go to that, and, you know, they're huge and they're colorful, and but basically what that is the birds that they have that fly around in front of the Flights of Wonder and all around that area, basically, you know, announcing to the guests that, you know,
we're here.
The show is here. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, those macaws can make some noise.
Oh, it was really, really loud. And, yeah, I mean, I think that's a good way to do it because a bunch of people said, wow, what's going on? Did they get loose? Or, you know, and they start asking questions or, you know, they might ask a cast member, hey, well, you know, what's the deal with this? And, you know, of course, they tell them, oh, that's the pre-show for the Flights of Wonder. Next show is in 20 minutes. Head over there and check it out. So it is a good marketing thing without even using human beings, really. It's the animals or the birds in this case.
They're the show there, baby.
Yeah. Exactly. So, you know, although I didn't see the show itself, I at least got to see the pre-show, if you will, and it was pretty cool.
Yeah, I love that show. You got to go back next time. So you did do My Dinosaurs.
Yeah, I did Dinosaur. We did that. We did Kilimanjaro Safari. We did It's a Bug's Life.
Now I'm mad at you for It's a Bug's Life. You didn't even send me a picture of it either.
Yeah, well, like I said, we were that day, again, this was part of the reason why I didn't do some of the stuff that I would have liked to. We were with the larger group this particular day, and they, again, they had never been to Disney, or a couple of them had never been to Disney, so they did some things that, you know, we didn't do or whatever. And they ended up all leaving early. They were tired and, you know, typical Animal Kingdom stuff. It was hotter, or at least it seemed it was hotter than anywhere else. But I stayed behind for a couple hours, and you'll recall I tweeted out some pictures. I went to some different areas that I had not gone before, like that back entrance to the I always forget the name of this. You know, where I took the picture of that purple elephant. What's that? The Rainforest Cafe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know you know this because you've spoke about it before, but it's pretty cool that you can go into the Rainforest Cafe from the Animal Kingdom.
Yeah, there's a, if you're coming, like, headed out of the park, before you get right at the end of the foliage area, you'll see a little walkway on your right-hand side. It's kind of tucked away. You sneak in there, and you can go by and go right in the back entrance of the animal, I mean, into Rainforest. It's really cool.
Yeah, yeah, I had never, you know, I knew it was there, but I had never done that, so I you know, I went into there and went through the gift shop, as you know, and I actually, I think I got a margarita at the bar in there while I was waiting, and well, not while I was waiting, but I guess while I was there, I should say. And I checked out in and around the different exhibits in the front of the park there. And like I said, I probably stayed an hour and a half, 2 hours when it was all said and done. And, then I headed back to, get with my wife and the rest of the group back at the resort.
So the grand trip, how would you rate this trip? Did you have a great time?
Yeah. I mean, mainly because we were at Riverside, that kind of made the trip for me. I mean, like I said, I enjoy the theme parks, but at this point, it's less about the theme parks and more about, where
family
we
family time and hanging out.
And it was nice that, we got to spend family time together, and we ate at a lot of great restaurants. We did Cali Grill, we did Raglan Road, we did, where the heck else did we eat? We did Kona Cafe, and we did the new Italian restaurant down at the Boardwalk, Trattoria El Forno, I think it is.
Yeah, I hear you. Everybody knows who you're talking about. The old Cat Cora place.
Yeah, it was so much easier when it was Cat Cora.
but we love hearing you try to say it then.
Hey, I can't speak English, let alone Italian, right?
You speak Boston. It's okay. We still love you for it.
Yeah. To answer your question, it was a good trip. And, of course, on the front end of the trip, I got to spend some time with Bob and Mary. And, we did the food reviews from Flower and Garden. So it was kind of a mixed trip, family time, friend time, did some stuff for the show, rolled my ankle, had some, physical issues.
It was a whirlwind trip then.
It was. It was a lot going on. I mean, back at the beginning, we got to go over to the B Resort and check out American Q. So, I was off property a little bit and, did a lot of things.
Took you out of your comfort zone and you actually enjoyed yourself over there. You were pleasantly surprised. It was like you really, really enjoyed yourself from everything you told me.
Yeah, absolutely. And, like I said on an earlier show when we covered that in detail, I mean, kind of getting out of the, you said it correctly, Doug, the comfort zone, or just doing the same thing over and over again. I mean, there's so much to do down there. And, I think I might have mentioned it. I actually ate off one of the food trucks down at Disney Springs. It was the Animal Kingdom food truck, which was awesome. I had like a hummus plate with pita bread and all kinds of tabbouleh, and it was awesome.
Probably part of GECO.
Yeah, it didn't say GECO on it, but it was definitely, the truck was all painted up like the Animal Kingdom, but it may have been, Doug. I mean, I know they do serve dishes from the different parks or maybe restaurants in this case, but it sounds not kind of weird, but you think, well, how good can the food be out of a food truck?
Dude, some of the best food I've ever had in my life has been off food trucks, especially doing construction. There was the roach coaches, and then there was the food trucks. And when the girls there was a couple of them that came around. They were like the ones you were. And they would come out and make everything fresh for you, fresh to order. I mean, it was like eating at a five-star restaurant when they would come by to cook for you, a lot of these people. It was incredible.
Yeah, and it's kind of a good option because, unless you want to go in Wolfgang's or, you want to go in and spend some time, you can just, quickly grab something. Yeah, and they have tables set up out there. The only thing where the trucks were, and I know they've been moved around, but I think this is pretty much where they're going to kind of be a constant presence, is they're kind of right next to the big pineapple there. Gloria Esteban, what's that restaurant?
Cuba Cafe.
Yeah. And it's all concrete, and there's not a lot of vegetation around there. And that day, it happened to be one of the days it was 90 and hot. It was brutally hot. Just, they have those, the tall tables, if you will. No chairs, but a bunch of tables around the, inside of where all the trucks are.
Yeah, they want to make it too comfy. They want you to eat and move on.
Yeah.
That's what they
you're
want.
Probably right. Yeah.
Yeah, they don't want you congregating there. They're trying not to make it where there's people standing there all day long.
Right. But it's kind of nice. You can all, along with the food, they all offered, pairings of wine or beer or soft drinks, whatever you want. So you can really get a full dining experience, if you will, even eating off the food truck. And, you know, I think you said it earlier when we were talking about the grilled cheese over at Epcot. I mean, I think this is, again, an extension of the success of the Food and Wine and Flower and Garden Festival, where you have these kiosks. I mean, the truck is, you know, it's just a kiosk with four wheels, right? It's yeah. almost the same thing. So.
It's exactly the same thing. They're probably the truck, in some cases, bigger than what the kiosks are. If you look at the ones from Around World Showcase during Food and Wine, the truck, but in most cases, those trucks are double the size of the kiosks that are Around World Showcase.
Yeah, they can probably offer more offerings at a kiosk. Obviously, you know, the food and wine ones or the Flower and Garden. I mean, they have a set one or two items. I mean, on this truck, I'll bet you there was at least six different,
offerings.
Main choices. Yeah, and then, you know, you could get sides. And
yeah, and they're double the size of what you're getting to at World Showcase. I mean, there's a lot more of an offer.
Oh, yeah.
Your plate's full, a lot more food on your plate than what is at the kiosk is a World Showcase.
Yeah, and that's a good point, Doug. I mean, I actually took a picture of it. I'll put it up on our Twitter feed later on today. You can see what it looked like. But, yeah, it was definitely a full-on entree. I mean, there must have been three or four different dipping, hummus and different basil, different things. It was delicious.
Different condiments for it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And, definitely. And the price accordingly is more expensive too, where you're paying $5 or $6 a pop at the Food and Wine or Flower and Garden. I think what I got might have been $11.99 or something like that, just for the entree. But I thought it was worth it, and it was great to experience that.
Like I said, they probably put a lot of that down there too because of the the construction workers and stuff. It gives them a place to eat too while they're working there. I'm sure Disney was thinking that the whole time.
Yeah, I somewhat disagree with you on that. I mean, I didn't see any construction workers there, and I don't remember what day it was, if it was a weekend or a weekday. But I'd be willing to bet they wouldn't want the construction workers eating at those carts. But that's just me.
I bet you they snuck over and grabbed stuff, Dennis.
Yeah,
maybe. I know I would.
I'm not saying yes or no, but I'd be willing to bet as part of the contract or the agreement that they wouldn't want, 50 guys.
Oh, the riffraff of us contractors over there. Okay, call us riffraff.
Hey, I'm one too, so I know what you're saying, but I'm willing to bet that that's not allowed. But
well, I'd have beat them because I would have brought a change of clothes and walked over there and got my food. They weren't going to stop me.
Yeah. Also, while I was down at Disney Springs, and again, I know I did tweet some pictures out, I did pop into Splitsville and check that whole thing out, which was pretty cool and surprisingly large in there. I couldn't believe how big it was. And I was in there, I think, earlier in the morning, so it wasn't crowded, but, multiple bars and the the bowling alleys with the tables and lots of other tables. Even if you don't want to bowl or it doesn't interest you, I would
just
say...
just want to be like Bob and just go in and get the great sushi.
Yeah. Don't not go there because you don't like bowling or something. I mean, I didn't eat there. I had eaten at the food truck, but I'll definitely check that place out at some point.
Well, hopefully we can bowl a couple games next time we're down, Dan.
That would be awesome. To kind of wrap it up here, it was a great trip, fun trip, quick trip, as they all are. You plan, and then it's here and it's gone. But, that's what keeps us going back. So we just look forward to the next one.
You probably found 20 different things that you didn't see on any of your other trips this trip.
Yeah.
That's the great part of it. You went in Splitsville. You did. You ate off a food truck. You guys, you seen the McCalls. I mean, there's so many different things that you've told me you've seen that you've never seen before. That's a great thing about Disney. When I go down to Jersey Shore every trip, I see the same ocean, the same stand, and the same guy selling a T-shirt.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I know exactly what I'm going to get.
Right.
Except
right.
It looks a year older.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and even, down at Disney Springs there, there's two new Starbucks. I know they've been open for a while now. But again, we did get something at one of the ones over on the Marketplace side that, it wasn't open last time I was there. So, that was a new experience
as
well.
Yeah, you seen the trolley stage, the trolley car. You went to the Bee Resort. You had a wonderful dinner at the American Q. I mean, look at all the different things you did alone just on this trip.
Yeah, and it, you know, they add up quickly. And you're right, Doug, that you don't realize you're doing new stuff or how much new stuff you're doing until you kind of reflect on it. You know, like we're doing this morning on the show. So it's all good.
Yeah, Bob and Mary seen Yeehaw Bob for the first time. You had friends see it for the first time. You guys had a really, really good trip this time.
Yeah, we did, no doubt about it.
Well, that's going to wrap it up then for this show. We've babbled on long enough. We're over an hour again, as usual.
Oh, boy.
But please, everybody, we would really, really appreciate you guys going over to iTunes and leave us a review. I mean, we could really use some reviews over there. We know you guys are following. I mean, we thank you all for all the Twitter and Facebook. We can see everybody. You know, every day we're adding new friends, and we love it. And we just really appreciate a review.
Yeah, then, you know, I said it last week, and I'll say it again. That's the way you can repay us, if you will, if we bring you any enjoyment or escapism from your day-to-day life, or just enjoy hearing us banter about Disney World. If you could, you know, do us a solid and leave us a review, we would really appreciate it.
You know, just say two knuckleheads sitting at a stool drinking Bloody Marys on a spring day when they should be having sangria or something, but it's okay. But that's it, guys. Please follow us on Twitter, Facebook. Hop over to our website at WDW Magical Main Street Memories and check out all of our sponsors. And we will see you guys next week.
See you later.
Have a good night, then. Bye-bye. Well, guys, that's going to be it. Me and Dan's going to hop off our stools, pay our tab, and get on out of here. This show is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel. For all your travel needs, contact American Tourist Travel at 856-227-9200. If you need a nice home in the Central Florida area to go visit Disney, Universal, or any of the fine amusement parks, and you want to stay outside the parks, contact the Elite Vacation Homes at 888-510-6679. They have a home to fit any size family. If you need a scooter in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at 855-939-7266. And if you want to rent a vacation club on Disney property, contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at 800-610-5791. And you can also find all of our fine sponsors at our website at www.magicalmainstreetmemories.com. And please, guys, go give us a review over on iTunes. That's going to be it. Thanks again, and thanks for listening. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.